In 2009, a group of Kevin Smith fans converged on Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Sent there to play hockey, they soon discovered their mission was full of hijinks, shenanigans, and a whole lot of beer and poutine. Having survived their first year in the Great White North, they returned every year to continue the tradition. But in 2015, three of them decided to document their adventures, trials, and tribulations. If you have come to laugh, cry, or simply enjoy yourself at their expense, then you have come to the right place. You have come to Jim's Barbecue.
Hi, welcome to episode 27 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Dylan.
Boom-cha.
Wow. Hi, Dylan. You're very energetic this evening.
Yeah.
Oh, what reason not to be? I just sat down in the nice air-conditioned booth at Jim's BBQ.
Mm. That must be a one person seated place where that air conditioning resides, because it's certainly not here in steamy Rochester, New York.
It's in the owner's office.
Yeah. Ah,
shit, man.
I was filling out the invoices for the ribs and the, you know, the brisket.
Oh, okay. Like you're in the manager's office, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a manager now, so.
Yeah.
He's in the VIP lounge.
So you might actually have a little bit more energy than I do this evening. I actually just got home from a wonderful trip down to Boardman, Ohio, and Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Boardman, Ohio, yeah. As so named after Principal Keith Boardman.
That's what yes. I heard.
And all five of his assistants.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... Yeah, before we get into that meat of the conversation about that trip, don't forget you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us at JimsBBQPod.
You can also email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com or go to www.JimsBBQPod.com and... read our bios, you know, look, see if anything's going on. And you could also get those episodes fresh from the grill, might you say, under the episodes tab.
And don't forget, you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. So, Dylan, what are you drinking this evening?
I am drinking, I guess, Evil Twin sort of becoming a house favorite around here. I feel like we've had a few of their beers, yeah, but I'm...
The last episode you had the Soft DK, or Soft Dookie. If
yeah, Soft Dookie. Well, this one I'm having Molotov Heavy, which was described as sort of a bomber sized bottle, so it's sort of like two Dogfish 120 equivalents, sort of. It clocks in at 17.2% alcohol, and it's not bad. I like it, but it's definitely not blowing me away. It's like a triple IPA, but it's like really boozy, and you know, you get some of that like that butterscotch flavor. It's almost like a cross between like an IPA and like a barley wine. Very bitter finish. It's good. It's not blowing me away though. I was expecting a little bit more, but I'd be interested in maybe buying another one of these and putting it in the cellar for a year.
Do they actually suggest that on the bottle or anything, or?
It does not say that. I just thought maybe because of the alcohol percentage, it would hang on, you know, well for a year.
Yeah, maybe. I know the Molotov Light is delicious. I really enjoy that.
I like the Molotov Light. That is a good beer. I actually think that beer is better than this one in terms of execution. And that's already like a pretty decently heavy beer. Oh no, I was gonna say, what are you drinking, Mike?
I'm drinking from Jack's Abbey. I'm drinking Hoponius Union IPL. It's an Imperial Pale Lager. Jack's Abbey is largely known for just doing lagers, or the majority of their beers are lagers, and it's quite delicious. It's a very hoppy, citrusy beer. I'm enjoying it. It's what's it at? It's 6.5%. So it's pretty heavy, but it's delicious. It's refreshing.
I certainly enjoy that beer quite a lot. Our good friend Mott brought some to my place when he came up here before Brantford, and I very much enjoyed it.
Jim, what are you drinking this evening?
I found something I've been searching for all my life.
I thought you were going to say that with, like, a weird, like, bourgeois accent. Like, oh, well, I found something I've been looking for a long time. I don't know. I heard a little
bit. I've been looking in all the mountains of the Himalayas. It's, oh, everybody knows how I like Spreckers. They're fire brewed,
Spreckers?
Spreckers. They're fire brewed, gourmet sodas are the fucking bomb.
Hello?
Hello?
I think it was Sean logging in or something. He must have had it.
Yeah, here I am.
Welcome, Sean.
Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So, Jim was just finishing up, talking about what he was drinking.
So, yeah, it's this most elusive, Spreckers flavor, the grape. Definitely, good, nice, full flavor. Tastes great. Smooth, but the best thing I like about it is the grapiness. It's very, very grape, but it's not like that funky grape taste. It's not that overwhelming grape taste like you had from other sodas. Just fucking perfect. Tastes great. Goes down smooth. It's great. Did I say it was great?
No, you said it was grape.
I thought you said graviness or something at one point.
So we added Sean to our conversation this evening, but before we get to the reason why we added him to the conversation, I just want to check. Sean, are you drinking anything this evening?
I just finished a zombie dust, and I poured one of my Enjoy by 7.4s.
Geez, you're a little late on that, aren't you?
A little bit. I've only got a couple left.
All right, you're past due on that assignment. Is that beer still drinking good?
Yeah, it's like... only, a week and a half or whatever past the point. Yeah, no, it's still very good.
Yeah, good amount of hops. You know, we didn't just bring Sean in here to have him tell us what he was drinking this evening, because that would be kind of pointless, right, Sean?
Yeah, pretty pointless.
Yeah, so the reason why we brought him in is because of what him, myself, and Jim did last night. We went to see... Guns and fucking
Roses, baby.
Yeah. I mean, overall, what do you guys think of the show?
I was stoked just because it was all the OGs and everything, but I was very, very happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great show. I mean, great, you know, stage show. They always, you know, have huge production. You know, especially in, you know, like a football stadium show, man, you should get like the most production that you possibly can, like when it's a stage set up that big. And I mean, it started right from the beginning of their set and everything. But before we get there, I was blown away. I thought the band was great. We'll get to Axl in a little bit. But Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a really good show. Like you said, the production was on point. The band sounded really good. Axl had his moments, and overall, I thought did really well. But there were certain kinds of things that were funny about his performance too. But I enjoyed myself.
It wouldn't be just a trip to go to a concert. No, of course not. I mean, you got to make the most out of trips like this, and you know, try and do what you can to. Just have some fun along the way. And, you know, the event is one thing, but getting there and hanging out with Jim and road tripping with Sean is another thing. I mean, you know, it was a pretty decent ride down, and, you know, we left, Tuesday afternoon right at, you know, we both, got off of work a little early and, rode down and met up with Jim and, went out to eat with Jim, which, it was kind of neat. We went to like this, what the hell was the place called? Hotheads or Hothead Burrito?
Yep.
And it was pretty good. It was, think of it like kind of in the vein of like Moe's or Chipotle or Qdoba. You know, one of those like pseudo fast food Mexican type places, you know. And it was good food. But the funny thing about it is I don't know if it was the venue that had its effect on Sean. But man, did he destroy their bathroom.
I think it's a mixture of things. I think the sriracha lime pretzel crisps I had in the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could have seen those maybe.
And then the large burrito I had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and washed it all down with a K. Arnold Palmer.
Yes. As gay Arnold Palmer is the pink lemonade and Lipton brisk iced tea, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so like Jim and I both had the experience of going into the one stall bathroom after Sean was finished with it, and whew, boy, that had some staying power.
The paint was.
I gotta say, I like that you called him Stinky Poo Sean in the thing. That's pretty funny that you labeled him Stinky Poo.
Well, you know, I gotta wonder if like both Sean and Jim maybe had the same meat choice at Hotheads.
I had the chicken. What'd you have, Sean?
I had the pork.
Okay,
so no. Because I was figuring maybe there was some sort of collaboration going on or something. Because we after we left there, we drove down to Pittsburgh and went to the area where the football stadium is, because the concert was at where the Pittsburgh Steelers play at Heinz Field.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim couldn't make it that far. We made it as far as the Rivers Casino, which is kind of basically like right next door to Heinz Field.
That was a struggle.
And Jim was waddling his whole way from the parking lot.
Were you prairie dogging, Jim?
Yes.
I was gonna say turtle heading.
Yeah. I got a turtle head poking out.
Yeah, we get into this casino, and all three of us ended up using the washroom. And
some longer than others.
Yeah, some of us a lot longer than others.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, I hadn't experienced, like, indoor cigarette smoke in quite some time. And after I got out of the bathroom, I got to stand in it for a good 15 or 20 minutes while we waited for Uncle Jim to finish up.
I wasn't really in there that long.
It seemed that long.
Oh, fuck, man.
And this is the first of three times?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you my mother, Dylan?
No, I'm just saying, like, wait, there's, like, it wasn't just like, oh, I went to the casino, took it down. It's like, oh, guys, I got to go back in because it just keeps coming. It's like,
well, no, he didn't go back to the casino. We'll get there, though. Dylan, don't you worry. But yeah, I mean, it's not like you need to be concerned and get a sample from Jim or anything like that, you know, to have it studied at the lab. I mean,
if he did, he would just shove it in some lady's purse or something anyway.
No, he'd shove it down the back of her
pants. Oh, I ain't like that fucking guy.
He'd shove it down the back of her pants in a Ziploc bag.
Yep, that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, realizing, you know, haven't spent a whole lot of time in, like, indoor buildings with cigarettes recently, man, my eyes started to burn and itch. And then Sean came out, and right before he came out, I noticed something. I'm just standing there looking around, and then looking at my phone because I was getting bored. And I keep hearing, like, the same, like, 15 to 20 seconds of my heart will go on, like, every couple of minutes. I'm like, what in the fuck is that? And I'm like, it's not like, I don't care about the song. The song is fine. And to each their own, but
you can only hear it so many times in 15 second intervals.
Right. But it's the same part. It's not like,
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. All of a sudden I turn around and I realize where it's coming from. They had this big, huge setup of like a four banked machine with video screens and everything of a Titanic slot machine. Like there was four separate units all like connected together and they were all showing like clips from the movie and shit. It was really bizarre.
Isn't that a little like dated?
Maybe. I mean,
slot people don't care, dude.
Yeah. They don't give a shit.
True.
Never mind the fact that it was like a one penny slot.
I like the characters that came up like on the thing, like when you would hit the slot, it was Jack, it was Rose, Billy Zane.
And there wasn't like a picture of James Cameron like shaking his Oscar in the air?
No. And then there was like a couple other things. I think one was like a treasure chest.
There was bread. I remember there was like a loaf of bread.
No, Billy Zane?
No, there was Billy Zane.
Oh, you did say there was Billy Zane.
And then I think there was what? There was like some cheese and wine or something too? And
no Bill Paxton?
No, Bill Paxton.
No love How about for Bill Pullman? Paxton. Bill
Pullman. Wait. Is it Bill Pullman or Paxton in that?
It was Bill Paxton.
Paxton.
I know, everybody always gets confused. That's why I said that. Yeah, I mean, there was all sorts of other items on that thing, though, too. I think there, like, some of the items may have been, like, the plates or something like that. It did yield a good idea for the first annual Jim's BBQ podcast fan cruise, though.
The casino, go to the casino on the boat?
Well, no, I mean, no. It yielded an idea for our t-shirt for the fan cruise.
Very much.
Oh?
Yes. Basically, it's going to be what?
The Titanic?
Well,
like sinking?
Kind of. It's going to be Dylan and his head on the bow of the ship, basically playing the role of Rose and Jack, and then Jim and I in a little lifeboat next to the boat, and you'll see an iceberg coming up to the boat. That was our idea.
It sounds disturbing.
Why is that?
Because it's just like my big head.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to take your head off of the logo and we're going to paste it onto the picture of Rose and Jack on the bow of the ship. He's going to play both.
Am I both of them?
Yes.
Yes.
That's really disturbing.
Exactly.
Well, the other thought that we had was you could be Jack and Paul Saunders could be Rose.
I was going to suggest that.
We don't know how well Paul might take that.
What if we reverse it?
He might still have an issue with it. Maybe less of an issue.
Is there one you can just find of like where it's just Jack and you can put my head on it? I don't want it to be like me cradling myself.
You could do one of the other scenes and be like, have him be like, Paul, draw me like one of your Hispanic boys.
Nice. Or it could be like the part where Jack's like drowning and it could just be like, I'm all blue.
Yeah, maybe.
That might be a little morbid though.
Yeah, so you know, the other thing is they also had other slot machines that were themed. Like they did have a Walking Dead bank of slot machines too. We saw those as we were walking out. I can't imagine what the little characters on that one look like. We didn't really get a close look at that one, but
could you imagine some grandma going up and like, I can't wait to spend all my pennies on that lovely Norman Reedus.
All right.
Okay. That crashed and burned.
Yeah.
It was the voice. That got me. I had no response.
And I don't know if that was worthy even of a waka waka at the end.
Waka waka waka.
All right. So, yeah. So Jim finally comes out of the casino bathroom.
It's like my unveiling.
I didn't even realize when you came out. I don't know if you noticed that because I was still looking around and shit. And then you come out and you must have been out there for a little bit. And you're like, Mike. I'm like, what? Huh? And you're like, ready to go?
He was in a daze of cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
It could have been. But then we end up walking. It's like maybe another block or two to the stadium. And we get in there and it's pretty easy, pretty lax security and everything, I would say. And pretty easy walk up to the area where you can get to the seating and everything. And they have like the t-shirt vendors out there. And this part, I was amazed at. What's that?
In the sauna.
Oh, yeah, because the concourse area there was just steamy as fuck. I mean,
oh, yeah.
People were just sweating, right? So we start waiting in line for a little bit at the first booth we see, and we're going to check in on the shirts and see what they have. And the shirts are rather expensive, but that's typical for, you know, like a big show like this, right? And Jim's standing there with us for about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, he's like, I've got to go. I'll meet you at the seats or back here. But he doesn't say go where. He just says, I have to go. And I'm like, okay. And then Sean looks at me and he's like, hey, where'd Jim go? And I'm like,
I
was like, I don't know. I really didn't. So as we're waiting there, all of a sudden this bigger guy comes back through the line. He goes, no point in waiting in line if you're looking for anything bigger than a 2X. They're all out. So I'm like, all right. I was like, so we we walk down towards the area where our seats are, and there's another booth. So we go and we wait in a line there for probably, what, about 15, 20 minutes, I would say. And yeah, during that time, we're looking at what they have, and it looked like they had a bit more of a variety, or at least a different variety. I'm like, oh, well, let's check this one out. And I notice as we're waiting in line that they had like some like almost like football jerseys and a baseball jersey available. And I'm like, and they had a tank top. And I text Jim because he was asking about tank tops. I text him. I say, hey, this other booth that's out in front of section 121 or whatever, they have tank tops. They also have like some other jerseys too. And he's like, oh, all right. Well, I'm in the bathroom. I'll be there in a little while. This is shit number two for those playing at home. So, I mean, he made it like maybe basically another couple blocks and then up the ramp into the stadium before he had to shit again. It wasn't over with yet, young Dylan.
There was more.
There was more. During the middle of the show, he got up.
Really? In the middle of the show, you had to go drop a deuce?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was... Well, he was gone long enough that they were playing one of the Chinese democracy songs. And then he didn't come back until midway through, I want to say, Estranged. And I was like, Jim, are you hearing those songs okay? And he's like, yeah, I was in the toilet. I could still hear them. So that was shit number three.
Wow. Was your stomach just turning the whole time, Jim?
Not the whole time. It would just be like... Then I have to go.
It was that hi-hats, man.
It sounded like one of those fucking bugs from Star Wars Episode 2.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the funny thing is after all of this, it's getting towards the end of the show, and we're all getting a little like we had stay seated for most of the show, I would say. But Jim's the first one to stand up, right? And it was nice because like we were where we ended up, and this is long story short, but we'll get to that point about our seats. There wasn't anybody like seated behind us really. So we were able to stand up and not block anybody. And for anybody who's met my brother or I, we're both really tall. So us standing in front of somebody is just, you're not going to see, but Jim's the first one to stand up. And the girl that was sitting next to him goes, oh, do you need to get up? You need to go through again?
Awesome.
Yes. And then so, like, I see and hear all of this. And I look over at Jim. I go, yeah, you see that? Your reputation precedes you.
Wow, Jim, I'm impressed. You out-pooed me.
I know. That's pretty out there.
Yeah. So, getting back, though, I mentioned that we were standing there at that booth for those shirts. Would you believe that that other booth also had no shirts any size bigger than an XL? Like, they completely ran out of them. And the guy told us, like, when we got up there, he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, maybe they'll have some more out here for you at the end of the show. Yeah, when we walked back through at the end of the show, the displays and everything that they had where they were selling the things were almost bare. Like, they had run out of, like, everything.
But, like, they ran out of, like, triple XL?
Yeah.
Triple and two. Yes.
Wow.
They were down to, like, XL or smaller. And then probably by the end of the show, they were down to less than that, I bet. But this was, like, way, like, before, like, Guns N' Roses went on, they were out of shirts. I'm like, man... You got, I don't even know how many people were there. I mean, what, 30, 40,000 people, and you're running out of shirts to sell to these people?
The parking lot, the Lot Lizard shirt guys had all kind of sizes.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
Lot Lizards.
I think that term has another. I think that term has another meaning, Jim.
It definitely does.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I'm saying?
Did you wind up buying one from the guys?
I ended up getting one for me and my daughter. They had a 2X and one of the designs I liked. And then I got one of my cousins, one out in the parking lot.
Yeah, I ultimately just decided not to spend my money on the shirts out in the stadium or out in the lots. I just I spent my money on beer today instead.
Same here.
Yeah. Not a bad deal.
No, not at all. All right. So this next topic might be like one of the more controversial things we talk about this show. I know as I was posting on Facebook last night, we had some questioning comments about pictures I took.
Yeah, which I really couldn't understand, like, why people thought this was so weird.
I don't either. And, I mean, I got some feedback from other folks that said, yeah, we did the same thing, or, oh, yeah, we had the same experience, but we didn't think to do this, or, you know, it didn't occur to us to do this until after the fact. But basically, after we left that T-shirt stand, we decided to go to our seats because we knew Guns N' Roses had to be coming on soon because the other band finished up and we didn't even hear any of them. It was Wolf Mother. We just heard like some rumblings of them playing, but we didn't see any bit of them whatsoever. Like by the time we got through the shirts and the shitting, you know, it was almost time for Guns N' Roses to come on. We go through the concourse and we go to walk down the steps of the seats that we got. And it was one of those situations that I really enjoy. Like when you can go, onto like a ticket buying website and they actually have, it's the select a seat option.
Yeah.
So like you get to select the specific seat. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to select, these seats. They're going to be, and I ended up being able to get a pre-sale through a credit card company. So I was like, all right, this is going to be beautiful. So we selected these seats that were like down at the other end zone, directly opposite of the stage, but perfectly centered, like where we would have been looking straight across right at center stage. But as we're walking down the steps, I noticed it, and I believe Sean noticed it, this big ass,
not a fine ass,
big ass. Block of speakers on a stand that probably went, what, like 30, 40 feet in the air, maybe?
Easily.
See?
Right centered, smack dab, like as we were walking down the steps, like I was like, oh boy. And I think Sean had like the same reaction because he noticed it too. Jim, I don't know what he was doing. He may have been squeezing his cheeks together or something. I don't know.
Clinching.
Ready to take
yes. One. What's that?
Oh, he's getting ready to take another Dylan.
Yes, perhaps.
Taking a Dylan?
Yes.
That's a term that I used at the burrito place.
Yes, that's right. He did refer to it as taking a Dylan. I think that's more so in reference because of Dylan's history of dumpage when he's come up to Rochester.
This is another episode of Jim's Barbecue, proudly brought to you by Poop.
Yes. So, but anyway, we sit down in these seats, and I look at it. I go, oh, my God, you've got to be shitting me. Because you look at this big, huge stack of speakers, and it's literally right in the line of view of looking at the center of the stage. Not only that, but that same set of speakers blocked pretty much the entire view of the large video screen they had on the left-hand side of the stage. Okay? So then you look over to the right, and there's like another set of speakers that go up a little bit higher, and they're pointed in the direction of like the corner of the stadium. And the way they are set and where they are standing, they perfectly block the right-hand side video screen for our viewing.
So you can't see shit.
You couldn't see anything if you wanted to. So we sit there maybe for a couple minutes, and I looked over at Sean and Jim, and I'm like, this kind of sucks, doesn't it? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, it's like, do you think we should like maybe like go to guest services or something? And I just kind of threw it out there, and Jim's like, he sits there maybe for a second. He's like, you know what? He's like, that's not a bad idea. Let's do it. So we get back up. We go up the stairs, and guest services just, and I happened to, it was weird because I happened to see the guest services area was right next or right near this, that second souvenir stand we went to. So we knew right where it was, and it was right behind where our seats were. So we end up going up there, and Jim kind of takes charge of it. and there's a little bit of a line, and wouldn't you believe it's like all these people complaining about the same exact thing.
Jim said, Jim goes, let me get to the front, or I swear to God I'm going to take a shit right here.
did you say take charge or take Sarge?
Either would have worked in this case. I think if you would have been Sargy, I don't know what they would have done.
I don't know. I've just always found that as long as it's not the people's fault, that as long as you're nice to them, they usually work with you pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, I posted a picture on the chat that we have, you know, with Jim Hurt at work, waiting in line, drinking, swigging his water, you know. And
that water was a godsend yesterday.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, mind you, there was also a stack of speakers the same exact on the other side, like kind of, you know, symmetrically on the other side of the stadium.
Well, yeah, like a couple sections over from us, like, you know, kind of probably down like what, two sets of steps over from the seats that we were in.
So if you guys were like 5 o'clock, it was at like 7 o'clock. Does that make sense?
If the stage was 12,
yeah,
we were at 6.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We were at 6 o'clock. Now you can imagine those seats would have been beautiful without those speakers in the way, which I can't imagine why they would even need those. Like, we went and saw last year at where the Buffalo Bills play, we saw the Rolling Stones, and they had nothing like that whatsoever, and their sound was perfect.
I was gonna say it might be because, you know, you don't see that at an indoor stadium show, and it's probably because they have to compress all the speakers into one area. So, like, I get it. They're not going to set them up. It's probably because of the height of the ceiling. It might have just been because of the loudness of the band. I mean, they were pretty loud from the videos I saw.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Buffalo Bills, they play outdoors too. So that's why I equated it to that. And the times, like, we saw the Stones at MetLife, or its predecessor, the Meadowlands, and they never had anything like that.
I don't know. It might just be the volume of the band. Like, the Stones might not be as loud as Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, it was strange though, because, like, I mean, our friend Paul had the same previous podcast guest, actually, Paul Saunders. He had the same issue when he went, and they just kind of stuck it out and dealt with it. But I mean, it was, we were maybe up there for another 10, 15 minutes, and they took care of us. They moved us over, like, what, a couple of sections, I think. And, you know, our seats were still a little obscured by one of the speaker stacks, but it was a hell of a lot better than what it was. I mean, it would have driven me nuts the whole night. I would have just been raging about it. It's not anything like, you know, I can understand why everybody was angry. I mean, when you drop, you know, including all the fees and everything, $120 on a ticket, do you really want to not be able to see anything?
Right.
I mean, it would have been frustrating to just sit there, you know, knowing that, you know, that hard earned money that we all, you know, spent was kind of not wasted, but like lesser than, you know, someone else's money that they spent, because we're, you know, our view is obscured or obstructed. But I really think, I mean, you know, you can complain about something like that, but in the end, like, when something works out and then it leads to like more amusement than we could possibly stand, I think you tend to forget quickly about not having those perfectly centered seats, and you realize, hey, you know what? Maybe I was meant to be in the spot where I'm at. And we encountered this woman last night that was incredibly enthusiastic about being at the Guns N' Roses concert.
Oh, dude, she was like bouncing up and down and getting down.
She was waving her hands like she just didn't care.
Yep.
Two words.
Did you just quote fucking, what's his name? Cameo?
I don't know.
I think you did, unintentionally.
Maybe. I don't know.
He probably has heard it, but doesn't know who said it.
Yeah. There used to be a professional wrestler that said that, so I may have gotten it from that. I'm surprised Sean didn't bust me on that.
No, I was just thinking of her name, Rockin' Grandma.
Oh, Rockin' Grandma.
Rockin'
yes.
Grandma.
I was thinking about the muffler.
The muffler. That might be a story for another time. We told Jim a story about a muffler that
it's like, quite humorous.
Yeah. But yeah, she was having a great time. She had various hand gestures and movements. My favorite, I think, was during You Could Be Mine, when she feigned putting her hands up on like motorcycle handlebars.
Oh my god, dude, I love watching how people get at concerts. That sounds unreal.
Yeah. And then we started doing like the same things that she was doing behind her. We had a great time. Like, it was fun.
I got anxious. Like, what if the people behind us, like, kind of just saw us doing that and thought we were, you know,
the Sarges?
Concert people.
They probably didn't even realize what we were doing. If they did, oh well. We're probably never going to meet them. So, I don't know.
Sadly, we won't meet Rockin' Grandma again.
Maybe they'll think we're Sarges of the Week.
They very well might. On their podcast, they might call us assholes of the week or whatever, that we were mocking this, you know, old lady that was having a good time. But you know what? She brought us great enjoyment and great laughter. I mean, she was just very demonstrative about everything, you know?
Was she there with anybody?
Yeah, this whole group of people, which was kind of weird. It was one of those things. I don't know if you've ever seen this at a show, Dylan, like where like a whole group will come in, like 7-8 people, and mm-hmm. only like 2 or 3 of them might be in the seats at a time, and you won't see them all there at the same time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not all 7 or 8 will be there, and they'll disappear and they'll be gone for like a real long time. I'm not talking like the 15-20 minute shits like Jim took.
I'm talking like an hour. Yeah,
hour
I've
and
seen
a half.
People like that.
Yeah, it was weird.
They probably get drunk and they're stumbling around somewhere.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of yields up to like some of the other stuff that occurred, like in some weird and amazing people watching that happened. But yeah, we did witness a few things that were kind of curious. I don't know if there's any other really good people watching going on. I don't know if you guys saw anything beyond a couple of other instances. I know Sean saw like a guy take a header down the steps.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like a mixture that he was drunk, lost his footing, a little both.
I mean, how many steps do you think he went down?
I mean, it was just maybe a few, but he kind of like turned around, fell backwards down the steps, lost his beer, and had to grab onto the seats next to him.
Oh. Ooh. How many rows do you think he went down? Maybe just one or so?
I mean, there were small steps, but, I mean, to be fair, too, I mean, when we were leaving and it was still dark before they turned the lights up, like, it was a little hard to navigate the steps.
Yeah, I almost fell up them, actually, when we were leaving. That was more so about a guy who kind of wouldn't get out of my way. Like, it was weird. Like, he let you and Jim go, and then all of a sudden he started moving forward as I moved forward, and then it caused me to almost trip up the steps. But
yeah, what's weird is like the upper parts though were like they brought people down. If people were sitting up there, I mean those are steep.
Yeah.
I mean like when me and Sean have been at Steelers games, I've seen people take headers and fall up or down, like you've said.
We actually there was this video a few years ago where there was a guy up in the upper deck of the Buffalo Bills stadium. It's called Ralph Wilson Stadium. And I don't know why the fuck he did this. Well, I know why he did it, because he was severely inebriated. But he decided to slide down the outer banister.
Oh,
bad
idea.
Well, yeah, no shit, because he fell over the side when he got down to the bottom. And I think he was okay. Like, I mean, he didn't die or anything, but... What's that?
Who do you think he was, Ferris Bueller?
Apparently.
Abe Froman.
I think it's funny that you said he didn't die or anything. Like, what's the anything in that situation?
Maybe pull up.
He didn't get, like, horribly paralyzed or, or brain damaged or anything like that. I mean, I think he broke a few limbs, but I mean, beyond that.
He broke a few limbs?
Yeah, like arms, legs, you know, a few. A
I
couple.
I just think it's funny that you said a few, because I'm like, well, we only have four.
Jesus Christ, dude, I'm fucking tired.
You even got a giggle out of Sean.
I remember one time I was at a Nets game, and I'm watching a game, and all of a sudden I see all these people like sticking their heads up, and I hear like, someone fell. My friend goes, yo, dude, somebody fell. And I'm like, oh, shit, somebody fell, dude. Look, someone fell. And I look closer. It was my mom.
Nice.
I was like, oh, shit. And I like ran down. She fell down like 3 or 4 steps going to like the bathroom or something.
Huh.
And she wasn't too happy.
Was she dead or anything?
No, she was not dead. She was not anything. She just was not happy.
When you said up there, by the way, for the guy, I was going to take it back to poop.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, how were you going to bring it back to poop?
Upper deck, upper decker.
Oh, upper decker.
Good one, Sean.
Pretty sly.
Did you say pretty sly or pretty fly for a white guy?
Pretty sly.
You said sly. So, yeah, we saw one other instance of, like, some woman getting, like, escorted out of the stadium. None of us saw what happened for whatever caused her to get ejected out of the arena or stadium. But, yeah, that was kind of interesting. Yeah, so we didn't exactly see what happened with her or why she was getting ejected, but it was kind of interesting to watch. And it was early on in the show, too. I mean, what was it, like, maybe 3-4 songs in or so, if that.
Yeah.
It was really, because I remember, I think My Michelle was playing when, they were playing My Michelle when she was escorted out of the venue.
It couldn't have been, I was shitting during My Michelle.
Oh, was it?
Okay.
You were shitting during me.
He's going, oh, my, oh!
Michelle! Oh my
Jim
god.
Now.
Jim now. Unfucking believable.
Jim names all his poops female names.
Nice.
That one was called Michelle. I mean, it goes without saying that, you know, that a lot of rock and roll is about pomp and circumstance. And if anybody, I think, exuded that last night, it was Axl Rose.
He was showing off the pomp?
He was showing off a lot of wardrobe and bling, and it was just excessive. I couldn't believe the number of costume changes. You would have thought Liberace was out there. He's dead.
Like, did you guys see did you guys go see Guns N' Roses or like Christina Aguilera?
I think Christina Aguilera probably has less costume changes than Axl did.
Damn.
Yeah. He had a lot of fringy jackets.
Yes, he
is he still rocking those zoot suits?
Zoot suits?
Like,
zoot
he was wearing those, like,
big suits. What do you think this is, Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
Well, I remember he was wearing, like, those big suits for a while. Kind of like Carmen Sandiego, but, like, ate a lot of pie.
What?
Carmen. I don't remember. You've never seen those pictures?
Big suits?
No, he was not wearing any big suits. He was wearing torn blue jeans. What looked like it could have been a flannel around his waist, and various t-shirts that looked like he picked them up off like a big man store affliction discount rack. A whole lot of different hats. One I know was a fedora. One was a very wide brimmed black hat. There were so many fucking hats. I lost count. There had to have been at least half a dozen different hats that he wore. And leather jackets, he must have brought, I mean, last night, I think he wore at least 7 or 8 different leather jackets on stage. Leather jackets in this oppressive heat. He's wearing leather jackets, Dylan.
I can't imagine even what that would have felt. Like, I saw a picture of Joe Perry when he was playing the other night. Like, I guess it was, like, the same night that he had from what I understand, like a minor heart attack on stage and collapse, and he's wearing the leather jacket. I'm like, how
probably
can
why
he be wearing that? That's yeah, it's probably why he had a fucking heart attack.
I did like Axl's like Smokey the Bear Pharrell hat.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I liked his Ultimate Warrior Fringy one.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he... I'm trying to see if... the other thing that seemed to be readily apparent, Dylan, I'm sending you a picture in our chat, is he had a lot of freaking, like, jewelry on.
A lot of bling.
A lot of bling. Like, necklaces. He had at least two, if not three, crosses around his neck. Whole lot of rings and bracelets and body, like, fucking, like, women's jewelry, like they would go get, like, at the jewelry counter at Macy's. Like, it was the huge ass fucking rings. It was strange.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. I'm looking at the picture.
It's a really tough picture to see, but that ring was just giant.
Is that his hand?
What do you? Yeah.
That's his hand playing the piano.
Yeah.
Like no, even in this picture you can tell that's gargantuan.
Yeah.
You could kill someone with that.
Yeah, they were massive.
They were.
Look at all the fucking cell phones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like, throughout the whole show, that was a constant. Like, people just had their phones out taking videos, well, of the songs that they knew. Like, it was kind of funny during, like, the Chinese Democracy songs. Like, there was a lot of phones not on at that point. And then, Duff sang a song, and it seemed like that one was a bit of a break for people, too.
Oh, Duff sang? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he sang a song called Raw Power, which is on, I believe it's on the Spaghetti Incident, if I'm not mistaken.
That one kind of sucks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good version of it, though. He did a nice job with it.
Well, that's good.
I would have preferred to hear Yesterday's.
Did they play Civil War?
They did.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't Cry would have been good, too. We talked about that on the way out, like, songs that would have been cool to hear. Yeah, it was good. It was interesting.
Welcome to the jungle. We got lots of cake.
The other thing that we wanted to comment about him is he had some really, like, weird-looking facial expressions and facial mannerisms. It was strange. He just didn't look right in some cases. Like, he looked almost alien.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely, like, one of those guys that makes a lot of weird faces.
Yeah. Yeah, it was strange. Like, during Patience and, what was it, Live and Let Die or Knocking on Heaven's Door, I think you said, Jim?
Yeah, Knocking on Heaven's Door when he was doing the frickin' rooster neck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of strange.
Yeah, when he did the screams during Live and Let Die, it was like there was some weird facial expressions. Like, he had, like, crazy eyes during that.
I think he was just personally trying to look up at my seat and was like, is Edelson fucking shitting again?
Oh, my God. There's this one picture I just found on him. I'm going to send it to you guys. Oh, my God. This is not a good picture.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one before.
It's like he's taking a Jim Edelston league dump.
Ooh.
We looked at that picture earlier, actually.
Yeah, so, yeah, he looks a lot better than that now. But I kind of made the comment that you would think with all the running around the stage that he did, that he would maybe have lost a bit more weight than he did.
We all can't be perfect.
He must be having some really fucking huge meals in between shows. I think he's probably having a lot of those key lime pie Twinkies.
Super jealous.
He's got a handlebar mustache now.
The Twinkies.
That's a reference to something we'll talk about in a little bit here. But yeah, overall, I mean, he put on a good show. There was a few songs that I thought were a little duddish as far as the singing goes, like a little. I hate to say pitchy, but a little bit off, like they didn't sound right. I mean, I thought Estranged, I posted a video on my own personal Facebook of that. He sounded amazing during that song. But like I posted a You Could Be Mine and he didn't sound right during that one. Sweet Child of Mine, he sounded really good.
That's interesting because I've heard a lot of versions of Sweet Child of Mine where I think he sounds really bad.
Yeah, I thought he sounded pretty good last night on that one.
It's like one of the first CDs I ever listened to was the double GNR Live, like 87 and 93.
Yep.
And, like, that was, like, a huge CD for me when I was a kid. That was, like, one of the first CDs I ever owned, like, or that I ever got. It was that and Saint Anger by Metallica, which I fucking never listened to because it sucks. But,
Whoa!
What?
What'd you say?
It is pretty bad.
Oh. Saint Anger?
Yeah.
Okay. Saint Anger sucks. That's a terrible album.
Okay.
Except for Some Kind of Monster. That's not a bad song, but the rest of the album sucks. But I loved that live album from Guns N' Roses, and I always thought, like, the weakest song on it was Sweet Child of Mine. He just doesn't sound good on it.
What, on Appetite?
No, not on the,
no, the live album. It's called Live Era 87 and
92. Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he sounded good. I mean, overall, it was a good show. If I was going to give it, like, a rating out of 10, I would say, I mean, because the band was so on and tight, I mean, they sounded great. I'd probably go about an 8 out of 10 overall.
Well, I've seen Slash 3 times, and he's pretty spot on.
Well, that's the thing that blows me away. I mean, like, if and I kind of made the comparison, and I maybe shouldn't, is if, like, you put, like, Miles Kennedy up, like, compared to Axl now, Miles Kennedy would absolutely blow him away.
Well, he's got more energy, probably.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, though, you know, it was a good show. It was great. It was great to see that. I've been waiting for it for a long time to be able to see.
Exactly.
You know, at least those three principal members of Guns N' Roses together on a stage. And I know Jim and Sean both, you know, Sean, we listened to a lot of Guns N' Roses growing up. So, because it was one of my favorite bands to listen to. So, I mean, I know Sean was, you know, really jacked about going. And so, I mean, I don't know where you guys were at as far as rating the show. I mean, I don't know if you even thought about that or not. What would you think, Jim?
Somewhere around that.
Yeah?
Yeah, around 8-ish, you know.
I mean, there were parts of it that were amazing. There was parts of it that were great. There was parts of it I was kind of like, you know. There was a few things, like, they did some instrumental stuff that was cool, but I would have rather heard, like, an additional song, you know? Like a, you know, full-on band singing a song type situation rather than, you know, them jamming out on Wish You Were Here, which is cool, but...
They covered Wish You Were Here.
Right.
Instrumentally.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
There were lots of breaks that I think Axl took, like we're talking about on the way back.
Yeah. Well, like, instead of a cover of The Who randomly, like, why not play, like, if Axl's going to sing, why not play one of those other songs like Don't Cry or Yesterday's?
Exactly.
Probably because he doesn't have it in him, to be honest with you.
But he sang what Sean said, like, he sang The Seeker.
Right.
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, that part was weird. I mean,
like, one of their old covers, like, okay, Knocking on Heaven's Door or Live and Let Die, you can expect those, but, like, why randomly The Seeker now? Yeah. Which, it was fine cover. I mean, it was, I had no problem in that in and of itself, but if I were to choose that or other Guns N' Roses songs, there were others I'd much rather hear.
Yeah. And, I mean, they've been doing that the whole tour, though, too.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, yeah. I had also seen other set lists where they did play those songs that we named off.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a cool thing is that we got, like, all of the long songs on the show. Like, we got Coma, we got Estranged, we got November Rain, and we got Civil War.
Best Guns N' Roses song ever.
I'm up there with you. I agree with that. I love that song. That's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was, if not the favorite. Did Coma.
Oh yeah, and it was fantastic. I mean, the band was so freaking good. I mean, yeah, a lot of people are kind of critical of them, or I read some people being critical of them. But the second guitarist they have is a guy named Richard Fortus. He's actually really freaking good. A very, very nice. Very nice compliment to Slash in that regard.
Yeah, I thought he rocked.
Yeah. Yeah, I did just do a little research on the girl that was playing keyboards with him, and she's evidently, like, she's doing a lot of work with a guy that used to play drums with them, like, back earlier, like, back with Guns, like, maybe 10 years ago or so, and then she does like some EDM music with the current drummer and some other drummers and stuff like that. So she's definitely into some weird stuff, but she kind of, I noticed she did a lot of the background vocals. I don't know if you picked up on that. Her and Duff did a large majority of the background
vocals. Melissa Reese?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, when I seen her up on the big screen, my first thought was, this is somebody that would totally dig Dylan.
Or Dylan would dig her.
Yeah.
She had green hair, Dylan.
Not in this picture. That's 2012. She's a vocalist for Beat Razor, an EDM project involving Guns N' Roses drummer Frank Ferrer, Tool yep. drummer Danny Carey, and former Guns N' Roses keyboardist Chris Pittman.
Yep. And she's on tour with Guns N' Roses this year.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah.
And she's in a band called Brain and Melissa.
Yeah, that's the other guy that used to drum for Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Jim, what do you think of the show? Where would you rate it?
I think just because of the excitement factor of Duff and Slash and Axl, I think I'd probably give it a 9.
Very cool.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 because I wasn't there.
Oh.
Fucking Sarge.
Yeah.
You were invited.
I know.
Jim?
Yes, sir?
I understand you have one more story from the Guns N' Roses show that Sean and I are not privy to.
Yes, it's the Secret Jim story.
And I'm definitely not privy to.
Yep. Alright, so.
I like this idea. I would love this to just be like Jim's secret story segment.
Secret story time!
With Jim!
With Jim.
So anyway.
Hey, somebody should make us an intro on the jaw harp for that.
There we go.
Oh, wait, by the way, I couldn't finish watching the video because I was at the bank and I didn't want to make the line to it, but did you ever get the jaw harp to work, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yep. Yeah, I was rocking it according to the listeners.
Could you not hear him?
No, I only got like halfway through, but I was in the bank doing the deposit for my job, and I couldn't really watch it, so I'll watch it after deposit. This. Well, not your kind of deposit.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so secret story. I'm interested.
Yeah, secret story time. So.
Oh, well, why don't we explain? Jim got a gift when we showed up.
Did someone buy you a beer?
No.
No, I brought that up.
We got him a gift when Sean and I showed up yesterday afternoon. He got his own jaw harp.
Well, no, I know that.
I'm explaining it to the listeners, dude.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know you knew that because I sent you a picture of it when I got it.
Who's listening?
E.T. the E-Man.
Oh, okay.
And Teresa.
Teresa.
Oh, I did ask her if she listens, and she said, yeah, but she's not caught up right now. She's been busy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And of course, Mr. Well, Darryl.
Who's your guy that you called out? Henry.
Henry Segura. Ducky's been listening.
Ducky.
My boy, Ducky. So, yeah, we got
Jim Edelston listens.
I listen.
Dylan Gonzalez listens.
Don't I have to. I write all the summaries.
All right. So, Jim.
Secret story time.
With Jim.
So, all right. So, this is one of, I did hint to them that it was shit related. So, how they told Sean, or Mike told you a story about how we moved seats and we were actually at a different level down. So, we were, 124? And we ended up getting moved to 123. Something like that.
We were originally in 123. We moved over to 125.
Right. So
Jim hit all the bathrooms between 123 and 125.
I did literally. So, so I go out and this is the first shit that I'm gonna do. Like that we came up and sat in 123, and I come walking out. Go walk into the bathroom. I take like 2 steps in, and I look and there's a chick sweeping up garbage in there. And
okay.
I'm like, what the fuck is a chick doing in the men's bathroom?
She's the janitor.
Right. So I like look and there's no dude standing around. I'm like, all right, well maybe she cleared the restroom out. And I look down, but there's all kinds of people in the stalls. And the lady goes, "Wrong restroom, hon." I just turned around and walked out because on the section 124 where we were when we walked out, the men's was on the right hand side. So I just went to the right.
Oh, so you went to the autopilot.
Yeah, I went to go right to go shit, and I took two steps in, and she just stopped and looked at me like, you know, I'm like, why is there a lady in here? And she's like looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing in here? Just wrong restroom, hun. I'm like, oh, just I didn't even turn around. I just backed up.
I wanted her to have like a smoker's voice where she goes, ah, wrong restroom, sweetie.
Wrong restroom, sweetie.
So then Jim just walked right past her and went into the one of the women's stalls anyway.
That would have been even funnier, but no. I don't have that kind of balls.
And then you would have been the one getting kicked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny, but pretty uneventful ride home, exit of the stadium, and then Jim got turned around a little bit as we were leaving, and Jim pulled a Jim car maneuver.
But it was planned.
Yeah, up until the point when you couldn't decide which, if you were to go right or left. You started going right, and it would have taken us right back down to where the stadium was, and then you realized you had to go left.
Yeah, exactly.
That part was funny. But
and you just hear click in the back seat where Sean puts a seatbelt on.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of funny. Dylan, I was going to ask, do you recall getting a phone call last night?
Oh my god. So can I explain the situation?
Yes, you can.
So I had gone to, what time did you, wait, you know what? I could tell you exactly what time you called, but hang on.
It was like 12:12.
Who called? Was it you, Jim?
Yeah.
It's Jim.
You called me at 12:30 or 12:40, give or take. I had gone to bed, I think, at like 11:30. So I was like dead asleep for like a good hour. So I hear the alarm, like the ringtone go off. And, you know, in my sleepy days, I thought it was like I had set an alarm and forgot to turn it off. And I just get up and I just go, oh, this fucking thing. And I walk over and I'm like, oh, who's calling? Like, Jim. Like, why is Jim? I'm like, oh, he's on his way home. So I'm like, oh, right, Jim's on his way home from the concert. And I'm like, hello? And all of a sudden I just hear, hello? I'm like, oh, can I help you? And Jim just started singing or some shit. I don't remember.
We all just go, woo!
Yeah, that's what we were doing.
Yeah, do you remember? Yeah, do you remember at the end of the I'm like, oh, did you guys have fun? And you're like, yeah, I had a good time. I'm like, all right, I need to go to bed. I have work in the morning. Do you remember at the end of the conversation when I was like, when you guys were like, woo?
Oh yeah, because I did it for like a very long time.
And then there was just like 2 seconds of silence. I was like, yeah, woo.
Yes.
I was so alarmed that like. When I was holding the phone to my head, my hand was shaking. Like, you guys really, like, scared the shit out of me.
Mike said that, too. He's like, I wonder if we scared him.
Oh, dude, I was so alarmed. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. And I, like, got into bed, and, like, when I, like, grabbed the covers, you know, as, like, something, like, I felt, like, a shake go through the rest of it. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm, like, really unnerved right now. But you guys were, like, so animated, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't deal with this. I'm so tired.
You're so tired. All right. Yeah, so we finally made it back to Jim and Kathy's place, and all three of us pretty much just crashed, like, almost immediately. Well, I didn't really crash immediately. I played Candy Crush for a little bit, but.
Without your shirt on?
No. Oh, it was so bad, like, because it was so humid out and everything, and, like, it was an outdoor show. Like, the shirt that I had on, like, I completely sweated through it, or mostly sweated through it. So, like, I actually changed a shirt and wore a shirt to bed.
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm only asking.
Yeah. But then I fell asleep and slept. I woke up at about 7 and then fell back asleep for another 4 hours. I was tired.
I was tired.
Well, regardless, sounds like you guys had a great time overall. You know, you didn't really have any mishaps. You got out of your shitty seats and got some better ones, so.
Yeah, yeah. And then today we had a pretty fun time. I mean, after we got up and got washed up and everything, we went to, we recorded a nice little Jaw Harp video of Jim playing his new jaw harp, and
with a cameo by Houdini.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went and had lunch at Permani Brothers. Met up with Kathy and had a nice lunch, and it was Sean's first Permontis experience. Sean, did you enjoy that Permontis?
Yeah, I did. I liked the pastrami sandwich that I had.
Yeah. Yeah, a pretty sizable portion, huh?
Yeah, and then, yeah. Unhinged my jaw, but it was good.
Like a python?
Yes.
And then afterwards, we went to right next door there, or right behind it, really, was like a Giant Eagle grocery store, which I know Jim took great pleasure in watching Sean and I walk through Giant Eagle and compare it every step of the way to our favorite grocery store, Wegmans.
You know, Sean, this isn't as good as Wegmans.
That's why I took pictures of them, to show you them in their element.
You know, there's one picture I saw of you guys that Jim posted where it looks like you guys are holding hands.
I was going to say the same thing. It totally did, Jim.
And I'm like, really? Oh, it's like they hold hands and walk through, and they're like, oh, this isn't as good as Wegmans. They're like, oh, look at that. Oh, Mike, that, you know, they have a sampling booth over there at a Wegmans. you can get this for about a third of the price at Wegmans.
Actually, the one thing we did notice is that the bananas are cheaper at Wegmans. They had a pretty decent beer section there, but the real reason why we went in is because Sean's been seeking out the Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they claim.
Yeah, but we couldn't find
it. Rival grocery stores.
Yeah, we couldn't find it at Giant Eagle. So we left there, and then we went to a bottle shop, a nice wine and beer shop, and picked up some nice beer to bring back with us. And
you got some beer for me, too.
Yeah.
I didn't say Dylan even scored, and he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
You skipped over something at Giant Eagle, though.
Oh, what was that?
Did you skip over the Giant Eagle?
Your run to the marshmallows?
Yes.
Yeah, Sean got a little too excited because he thought he saw some Ghostbusters product, and he thought that they were going to have the Ecto Cooler and the Key Lime Twinkies that are promoting the new movie, and unfortunately they didn't.
Well, it was in a reasonably sized display, like a big like cardboard like almost end cap type of thing, and it looked pretty promising.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it took everything for like Jim and I to catch up to you because you were moving so fast to it.
Jim's like, oh, don't run so fast. I'm gonna shit my pants.
Yeah, he left.
Sean did the fucking take off, dude.
He did. He did. He left both Jim and I way behind. Jim was like, "What's going on? What's going on?" I'm like, "He sees Ghostbuster stuff over there. He wants to go see if they have the Hi-C."
Are you a big Ghostbusters fan, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very much a nostalgia thing with Hi-C, but I really loved the movies.
Well, they didn't have the Hi-C, even on that display. And they didn't have the Twinkies. So we went and we bought beer at that other store, which is really awesome. And then Sean and I drove home. We got delayed probably a good hour by this horrible construction. It was just, we were not moving. It was so freaking defeating. Yeah, it was a fun little trip, and you know, it was a good time. But Insecurities with Dylan, Jim, Mike, and Sean.
You know what I think was the funniest part of it this week was that I could hear a very awful like.
Why no?
It happens every episode. You were listening closer. I always edit them out though too.
You want to know something really funny? I actually thought of an insecurities question, and then I neglected to write it down, and I completely forgot what it was.
Question number 23. What is your favorite childhood game?
Didn't we do this one already?
We had what is your favorite game.
Oh. So childhood game, like...
You always look for qualifiers with these questions, Dylan.
Well, no, I'm sorry, but like, what's your favorite game... All right, I guess so. It's a game that's like that we just no longer play.
It's a game you enjoyed when you were a child.
Your favorite game? I'm going with kickball.
Okay.
Kickball.
All right. So I'll answer since Jim or Dylan is still kind of pondering this one. We always used to play this game in a friend's driveway. It was called Foursquare. I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we always had a really good time with that. It was a lot of fun. So I'll pick that as my favorite childhood game. It's something that I wouldn't play right now, you know. So, yeah, I'll go with Foursquare.
You know, it's funny because when I was growing up, I really didn't like games like that. I was more of a, let's use our imagination and, like, create, like, a story. And let's, you know, let's be characters and stuff like that. So I guess pretend, is that a game? Like, let's pretend?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess, like, let's pretend, you know, and, like, it was basically, like, let's go on an adventure in the backyard or in the house, and let's pretend to be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we would do stuff like that, too, or we would do, like, during the summer, we would do Capture the Flag, but with, like, water guns.
We took it way further. I remember, like, when I was in kindergarten, first grade, we used to play a game, and we created, like, our own superhero team, and it was called Powers. Which actually is like an actual comic book now, well not now, but like it's kind of, you know, it's been around for a while. But we had our own superhero team, and it was called the Powers Team, and it was like, I'm trying to remember who the characters were. It was like, it was Zorro, or like a Zorro kind of character, that the idiot who is just like this completely like. Unassuming person, like not that smart but had super strength. I think I was like Godzilla or something, and then there was I forget who the fourth character was. This is driving me crazy.
How about Dillzilla?
That was my screen. That was my first screen name.
Nice, dude. It was only a few years ago. What was the fourth character?
I mean, what was it like? What, three, 4 years ago?
It was Super Dave Mater.
Nice.
Was it like 3 or 4 years ago that you stopped doing this?
I can't remember who the fourth character was, but, yeah, we had, I just think pretend was like, you know, like, was like our game. Like when I was like, oh, let's pretend to be this person, or let's pretend to be this, or let's do that. And, you know, we would get like our little fake guns that made, you know, noises, and we would like, you know, fight aliens and shit like that.
You had a lot of shit going on then. There's your childhood game, man.
Yeah, we always did fun stuff.
So Sean, what was your favorite childhood game?
I was trying to think about this as you guys were talking. For like outside, I remember like playing with like the super soakers and stuff a fair amount.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was referring to a little bit. Like we would do Capture the Flag and other games like around the yard. Cause like my parents had like a lot of like huge like bushes in their yard. So you could hide in those and like, surprise the enemy and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It also, the bushes and stuff kind of fostered hide and seek quite a bit.
Yeah. But you think you had like maybe something that was your favorite, like inside then, or
inside?
Yeah, like you said outside, and then you kind of sounded like maybe an inside game was maybe more favorite.
Well, inside was probably, I mean, at the time, like just original Nintendo.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, I mean the classics like Super Mario and, you know, Zelda and yeah stuff like that.
With this one, I'll stay right with you because we're gonna have the same answer. Obviously, is what is your first pet's name?
First pet's name.
Yeah. No, we had a cocker spaniel named Tiffany.
Oh, okay, so that was Tiffany then.
Yeah. She was a good dog. You know, very sweet, very loving.
While I was young or something.
Yeah, you were really young, so I mean, you might not even remember her that much, but yeah, she was a good dog. So, Dylan, what was your first pet's name?
Minnie. Minnie was a mutt. She was a stray that got taken off the streets by my Uncle Kevin, who passed away, and we kind of inherited her, and she was okay. She was kind of temperamental, and I think she was kind of old when I was very young, and I remember she actually bit me at one point. And then she, unfortunately, she passed. And that was actually probably my first experience with death.
What was your first pet, Jim?
Ginger.
Ginger?
Yep. She's a white and orange dog.
That's funny. Like, a neighbor across the street from where Sean and I grew up, they had a golden retriever that was named Ginger. That was like a standard dog name, I think.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I really dislike traditional dog names or like pet names, like, you know, like Sparky and Spike. I like a good creative name. Spot. Like, I think, like, Annie, that's a good name for a dog.
It is.
You know? Like, Houdini, good name for a cat. I just dislike really boring pet names. Or really stupid pet names.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, there's some, but I mean, it's kind of like we, early on in this podcast, you guys recall when we were doing, like, the stupid baby names?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, you know? I mean, really, like, some people just make very bad choices. Yeah, I think it goes along the same line, you know?
So.
But question 25. What school did you attend for sixth grade?
Is this personal? Is this a little personal? Can, like, people find out more about me if I reveal this information?
You could just make it up.
Are you going to make it up?
Fuck, they already know where I'm from. Why... I said earlier.
I'm from Brooklyn because that's where I'm from.
All right, whatever. It doesn't matter.
And what happens if, like, I make one up and then, like, Sean, like, actually reveals the true answer? Then they'll be like, Mike, you're fucking lying. So what happens if I say I went to Bob Smith Junior High?
I like that you took the two most like, generic, boring names in the U.S. that people use.
Well, that's an example. And then he and Sean goes, oh no, we went to L'Equestrius Lavernus Smith Junior High.
Look.
The inner city.
L'Equestrius. Jesus Christ. It sounds like a horse name.
Those were like some of the names that were on that list, like when we were doing that, like the first few episodes when we had those baby names. Or
well,
like,
that's a pretty good callback.
Or well,
technically or from... we had different schools for sixth grade.
Did we really?
Technically,
I thought you went to the same one as I did.
Way to fuck it up, Mike.
I didn't know that. I thought he went to the same one as I did.
Well, by that point, I think you went to, can I say it?
Yeah, no, I was just...
Go ahead. I don't know why Dylan's blowing up the insecurity questions at this point.
Yeah, after question 26.
Well, you went to Merton Williams, right?
Yes.
Well, by the time I got up to going to sixth grade, I think they had moved the sixth grade to the elementary school.
Oh.
So Merton Williams just had 7th and 8th.
Gotcha. Ooh, okay.
So a little bit of Hilton, New York trivia there.
Yes. So I went to Merton Williams Junior High for 6th grade. And Sean, where'd you go?
Oh, elementary? I went to Northwood.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They had Northwood. I forgot about that. Yeah, so there you go, Dylan.
I guess I will just answer truthfully then. I went to Highland School. That was where I graduated from sixth grade.
They're going to track you now.
They'll know everything.
Highland?
They're going to find it all.
All about me.
Is it the same Highland School that we're aware of?
Isn't that the one right near the Quick Stop?
No, no, no. It's not like Highlands. It's Highland.
Okay.
Highland Space School.
Just getting
angry. The Highland School. People are gonna find out where you are.
Like, you know, like Highlander, like you know, like what's his name? McLeod.
Connor Duncan.
Connor McLeod. Connor. Not Duncan.
Connor Cut
the Duncan stuff. Connor McLeod. Connor McLeod.
Connor McLeod?
Dude, I just wanna make a point that I fucking love Highlander. It's an awesome movie.
Duly noted.
We will note that in the annals of this podcast.
Annals.
Annals.
That's a lizard.
Is it really?
An annal? Yeah, it's like a little green lizard.
That's awesome you know that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nerdy that I know it. Nerd!
All right, Jim?
I went to St. Patrick's School.
For reform boys?
For grade 6. For reform boys.
Ah. Boy, did they reform you.
No, not really. I was good when I was younger.
Not like now. You're just Sargy and pooping all over the place.
Yeah, I wasn't a total dick when I was younger. I was a nice boy.
He just now poops his way through Ohio and Pennsylvania.
You had like long ass hair too, didn't you?
Yeah, for a while.
Hard to believe now.
I know. It's crazy.
So do we want to close out insecurities for the week? Good with three? So.
Yeah, let's close it out.
Alrighty. Alright, well, that's insecurities for the week. Say, do we have any Sarges of the Week this week?
I don't.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Sean, do you have any Sarges for this week? Anybody that grinded your gears, so to speak?
What about those construction guys that held you up?
I don't know, there was the aggressive guy at Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I didn't really have to deal with him for very long.
But, yeah. Maybe the display setup people at that Giant Eagle for ruining the promise of Ecto Cooler.
What about, actually, you know, along those lines, Sean, what about the people that put the speakers out at the Guns N' Roses concert?
Yeah.
We how about stage setup crew at the Guns N' Roses concert?
Yeah, I think I can get behind that one.
Sure. I think that's acceptable.
So you know what? We do have a Sarge of the Week.
Sean, thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Jim's BBQ Podcast.
It's always a pleasure.
Oh, sure.
Thank you, Sean.
It's not it off.
What's that?
I almost nodded off.
Oh. Well, well, thanks for joining us, and why don't you go get some rest, man?
He's tired.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah.
He's either tired or we're fucking boring.
That could be.
A little column A, column B.
Wow.
Whoa.
Sarge of the Week.
All right, Sean. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll have you on again pretty soon, I imagine.
Yep. I'll probably go take a Dylan and then go to bed.
All right. All right, Sean. Well, we'll catch you later, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Sean.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Oh, it's time to close out this episode of Jim's BBQ Podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Stephen Avery.
Or you can follow us on Instagram at Jim's BBQ Pod. And you can follow us on Twitter. If you follow us, it's at Jim's BBQ Pod. Yeah?
Or you can email at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com. Yeah? And I heard that you can like go to this place and... There's episodes there, and you can, websites, yeah, uh-huh, and, there's a grill, and you can just pull them right off the grill, so to say, eat them something, yeah?
And don't forget, you can rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. thanks for visiting Jim's BBQ. Where you'll slap your pappy, it's so good.
All right, good night, goodbye.
Wow, you're done that quick?
Yeah, what about the closer?
What? Wait, we're not using that?
Oh, is the slap your pappy, it's so damn good? Is that the closer?
Oh.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
Bada bing.
Yes.
Who's creaking so much?
Oh, that was my chair.
I'm sure there's a Wegmans close by. They probably have headphones.
Oh, there's one I could walk to it, really.
You're a fucking smartass.